This is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown. President Trump is asking Congress to help Americans through a financial storm caused by the coronavirus outbreak. Get more on the story from the AP correspondent Sagar Magani.
We're going big.
The president says it's nobody's fault the virus is hitting the economy hard. And Treasury Chief Steven Mnuchin says the president wants to get cash to those affected.
We're looking at sending checks to Americans immediately.
In the next 2 weeks, there are few details, including how much money Congress would have to sign off as well. The administration's urging lawmakers to approve an $850 billion rescue package, bigger than the 2008 bank bailout or the 2009 Recovery Act. The White House says it hopes it can pass quickly, and Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell says his chamber should not adjourn until then, though it's a big undertaking for a slow-moving Congress. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A major U.S. city is under shelter-in-place order because of the coronavirus, the AP's Ed Donahue reports.
About 7 million people around San Francisco can only leave their homes for essential reasons. These are the strictest measures so far in America, similar to orders in parts of Europe. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio has this in mind.
I think New Yorkers should be prepared right now for the possibility of a shelter-in-place order. It has not happened yet.
But Governor Andrew Cuomo's office immediately pushed back on the idea of a shelter-in-place order for the city, but he favors social distancing.
How can you reduce the flow? You reduce the spread. How do you reduce the spread? You close down more interaction among people.
The governor says New York City would need state approval for a shelter-in-place. I'm Ed Donahue.
For more news, please join us at our website, voanews.com, or the VOA mobile app. From here in Washington, this is VOA News. Former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden won over Senator Bernie Sanders in Tuesday's Democratic presidential primaries in Florida, Illinois, and Arizona.
Our campaign has had a very good night. We've moved closer to securing the Democratic Party's nomination for president.
The victories placed Biden well ahead of Sanders in that race to clinch the party's nomination. The governor of the state of Ohio postponed Tuesday's primary because of the coronavirus outbreak. Ohio is now set to vote in June. European Union leaders agreed to impose travel restrictions on most foreigners entering Europe.
To limit the spread of the virus globally, we agreed to reinforce our external borders by applying a coordinated temporary restriction of non-essential travel to the EU for a period of 30 days.
EU Council President Charles Michel said EU leaders also agreed to coordinate the repatriation of EU citizens stranded outside the member nations. The virus count in Europe climbed to more than 60,000, with more than 2,700 deaths reported there. U.S. hospitals are bracing for a possible onslaught of coronavirus patients with pneumonia and other breathing problems, with a shortage of ventilators. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
The Society of Critical Care Medicine is projecting nearly a million patients, 960,000, may need to be put on ventilators during this virus outbreak. That's more than four times the number available. Hospitals are rushing to rent more ventilators, and manufacturers are ramping up production, but experts doubt the demand can be met. And there aren't enough respiratory personnel to handle the possible number of patients expected. The Pentagon contributing 2,000 specialized ventilators will have to train civilians how to use them. The evidence from China suggests that some coronavirus patients who develop severe breathing problems will need to be on ventilators for weeks. I'm Jackie Quinn.
South Sudan President Salva Kiir issued a new directive to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, including a travel ban on all newly appointed ministers. Kiir told the ministers this week they were not permitted to travel anywhere outside the country and issued a new order for diplomats returning from travel. Former California Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter has been sentenced to 11 months in prison after pleading guilty to misspending campaign funds. The ex-Marine resigned from Congress back in January after serving nearly six terms in Congress. For more news, please join us at our website, voanews.com, or the VOA mobile app. From here in Washington, I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
Washington. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Malawi's president says he does not agree with the electoral reform bills passed by the parliament.
What this means now is that the president will need to communicate the decision that he has made to parliament, and that parliament will need to reconvene and actually discuss the justifications that the president has made.
Makumbo Mutale is the Malawi governor's commentator. Uganda's Speaker of Parliament sparks controversy about a cure for the coronavirus. Kenya's Clinical Officers Union wants more staff to manage the coronavirus pandemic. And the Liberian government says its second Liberian has tested positive for the coronavirus.
The contact came from one of the direct contact. The immediate contact of the confirmed case was tested, and that's how come he was positive.
Wilhelmina Gala is Liberia's health minister, and Zimbabwe's annual inflation rate has more than doubled. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Arthur Peter Mutharika says he does not agree with the electoral reform bills passed by the parliament in February this year. The parliament had set May 19 this year to hold fresh presidential elections after the Constitutional Court in February this year annulled the May 2019 presidential election because of irregularities. Presidential spokesperson Ngemi Kalilani told a news conference on Tuesday that the parliamentary bills conflict with the Constitution. Meanwhile, President Peter Mutharika on Tuesday announced the removal of General Vincent Nundwe as commander of the Malawi Defense Force without explanation.
The president's spokesperson, Kalilani, basically wanted to brief the nation around the status of the bills that parliament had passed and were sent to the president for him to assent, as well as the recommendations that parliament had made to the president on the firing of the chairperson of Malawi Electoral Commission, as well as the commissioners of Malawi Electoral Commission. So basically the whole conference was basically aimed at updating the public on that.
The Malawi parliament passed bills calling for elections reform, which meant replacing the current commissioners, including the chairperson, Justice G. Ansah. What happens now?
So what Kalilani indicated is that the president has refused to act on the recommendation that he should fire the commissioners as well as the chairperson of Malawi Electoral Commission. So what this means now is that the president will need to communicate the decision that he has made actually to parliament, and that parliament will need to reconvene and actually discuss the justifications that the president has given. Because according to Kalilani, the justification that the president has given is that parliament did not have the mandate actually to, the parliamentary committee did not have mandate to question the credibility of this election when they were beneficiary of the same election which was administered by the Malawi Electoral Commission. And then there was also an issue to do with that the commissioners were ambushed and that they did not have legal representation when attending these meetings by the public appointment committee of parliament.
Has there been any reaction from the opposition, say, to the president's spokesperson's news conference?
So far, there is no official reaction from the opposition. But then I think some members of the opposition have been just reacting maybe on social media in their personal capacity. But we're yet to have an official reaction. But definitely, the reaction will be in the negative, mindful of the fact that the opposition, that actually the majority of the opposition had actually voted, voted that passed these bills in parliament. So we should really expect some negative reaction from the opposition.
What can you tell us about the removal of General Vincent Nundwe as the commander of the Malawi Defense Force?
Yes, so the president has exercised the powers that he has by actually removing Vincent Nundwe as the commander of the Malawi Defense Force. And I think and he has been actually replaced just today. The reasons, basically, there have been technical reasons that have been given, but I think what is very clear is that the reasons behind his removal is largely to do with the role that he had played as a commander-in-chief the last 8 months. As you're aware, the last 8 months we had nationwide demonstrations, and during these demonstrations, the Malawi Defense Force arose to the occasion to protect the protesters by ensuring that the protesters are well protected and that there is no force that is used, which was a bit contrary to what the president had been preaching during the political rally, urging the police, urging the army to use force in order to keep the protesters.
Makumbo Mutale is a Malawi governance commentator. He was speaking with us from the capital, Lilongwe. Uganda's Speaker of Parliament has sparked controversy with the claim that a local pharmaceutical company is about to manufacture an alleged cure for the coronavirus. On Tuesday, Uganda's health minister warned against spreading false information about the pandemic. Halima Atumani reports from Kampala.
While addressing lawmakers Monday, Ugandan Speaker of Parliament Rebecca Kadaga said that a local pharmaceutical company will start producing a cure for the coronavirus in 2 weeks' time. Her statement came after a meeting with Professor Sarfaraz Niazi, a scientist from the University of Illinois in the United States and the proprietors of Day Biopharma Uganda Limited.
A professor who manufactured a treatment for coronavirus in the U.S. and has granted the patent to Uganda. And within a fortnight, the treatment will be made here. It will be available on the market here in Uganda. It's being made by a company called Day International. Not that we should be relaxed, but there is hope.
The speaker was not the only one who got excited. Mathias Magola, a biochemist working for the pharmaceutical company, and Niazi also met Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni and seemed to convince him that the product would kill not just COVID-19, but any virus.
It's only this product in the world that kills the virus, including SARS.
So under the economics, I think it would be that because this coronavirus will be over, the epidemic will be over. But then there will be other viruses, so that chemicals will be able to kill the others.
Including bacteria?
Yes, because if you only make it for the corona, then what happens when...
When the corona is gone.
So, but if it can kill others...
No, it can kill all viruses.
However, when asked if this is true, Ugandan Minister of Health, Dr. Ruth Acheng, who has been working closely with the World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control, warned this is false information. Acheng said research on COVID-19 is still ongoing, and she noted the WHO has yet to endorse any treatment for the coronavirus.
There is no research that has been approved by WHO clearly saying let the countries implement this. And so until WHO has said this is the way to go, we still know that the treatment for COVID is supportive treatment, lots of fluids, and analgesics for those who are in pain. For those who are in the hospitals with a severe form, we want to rehydrate them, give them oxygen where it is necessary, and treat pneumonia where there is pneumonia.
Acheng also encouraged Ugandans to continue washing their hands with soap and water or hand sanitizers to prevent the spread of the virus. The best measure for preventing COVID-19, doctors say, is for everyone in affected countries to stay put, limit physical contact, and wait for the virus to stop spreading. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala.
The Kenya Union of Clinical Officers have asked the government to employ more clinical officers to manage the coronavirus pandemic. Speaking in Nairobi yesterday, Tuesday, Union Chairperson Peter C. Wachira expressed concerns about a clinical officer's handling suspected coronavirus cases. As Marie Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, Kenya has already recorded its fourth case of the virus.
Addressing the media in Nairobi, the Kenya Union of Clinical Officers has expressed fears of their members being infected while attending to the affected patients. The union's chairperson, Peterson Washira, said that more medical officers are needed to attend to the patients and manage the spreading of coronavirus that has increased the affected number in Kenya from 3 to 4.
The reason as to why we are saying we need more medics and we need medics trained, that health workers feel confident in the protective measures they have because they'll be the ones to give this civic education and even to manage this case. And that is why we are saying it's not a time for us to shift blame. It's not a time for accusations and counter-accusations. It's time that we come together as a country, and that is why as a union we have decided that we are going to work with government to ensure that we bring out the gaps.
Lack of enough personnel and equipment in most health facilities across the country might be a hindrance in fighting coronavirus pandemic in Kenya. Mr. Washira says the health workers should be provided with accommodation to limit the spread of the virus to their family members.
For health workers, because sometimes they also get infected in the process. Number one, as a country, we have a shortage. Number two, some may be infected depending on how the spread of the virus goes, and we may need to quarantine them. So we need more than enough health workers so that if there will be need to quarantine some, then we will have enough to continue seeing patients. We are asking the government to provide accommodation facilities so that whoever is working in isolation can actually remain there.
Kenya has conducted 111 tests since the country started running the COVID-19 tests early this month, and a total of 71 cases were negative. 36 people are under observation and 4 already tested positive for the virus. Speaking yesterday Tuesday at State House Nairobi, President Uhuru Kenyatta has declared Saturday 21st a national prayer day for the country.
We acknowledge always that we are nothing without our God, and we have learned over time that turning to God in such times gives us not only comfort, but also hope and strength to overcome even those challenges. I have decided to declare this coming Saturday as a national day for prayer. On that day, through our religious leaders, we will be asking God for his forgiveness, anything that we may have done wrong or wronged. On that day, we shall together ask for his protection and blessing for our nation, for our people, for the world, and all global citizens.
Kenya's health ministry says all travelers into Kenya, including citizens, diplomats, residents, and United Nations staff, will swear a legal document that they will observe quarantine rules. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojembo in Nairobi, Kenya.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Bate in Washington. Today is Wednesday, March 18th. The Liberian government says a second person has tested positive for the coronavirus disease. The new case is a domestic worker in the home of the official who tested positive for the disease on Monday this week. The health ministry says the second case was a primary contact of the official when he returned to his residence from Switzerland. Health Minister Wilhelmina Jala tells VOA Liberia is currently on a robust contact tracing of all those who might have come into contact with the affected persons.
Since we were able to gather the contacts very quickly and we tested one of the contacts, then that became positive and that added the number within 24 hours.
Did the contact come from your primary patient?
The contact came from one of the direct contact. Immediate contact of the confirmed case was tested, and that's how come he was positive.
You've been looking at the many tests of the airport. How many people can we confirm did touch down via Brussels in Liberia on Friday?
Usually Brussels run between 200 and 200. So he was in a business class, so we're able to, based on the manifest, identify those people that sat according to the WHO regulation directly behind or to the side.
How many of them can we say?
We only were able to identify 3 on our manifest that got down, him and 2 other passengers that got down in Liberia.
Do you already have them in quarantine or you've done some observation on them?
We are currently locating them. We have their addresses and we have sent people to kind of identify where they are.
Madam Minister, let's look at Liberia's preparedness for this coronavirus.
In terms of contact tracing and surveillance, I think we are doing a good job. At least as soon as we found out, we were able to round up most of the suspected cases or the contacts. were able to do that very quickly. So for that, I would say we are quite prepared. In terms of big equipment like ventilators and other things, we don't have. So we are currently in contact with a lot of partners who are willing to make sure that all of these things are on the ground. Luckily for us, the first patient is very stable, but we have some ventilators in the country that we can move. We have oxygen, we have some pulse oximeters, and we have some other things that we can use initially here on the ground.
The issue of testing kits, is Liberia ready?
In terms of doing the confirmation tests, we have tests to do a lot of testing right now. We're expecting some more within a few days. We're even expecting the rapid tests, so we'll be able to do rapid. Right now, we cannot do the rapid tests, but within a week, we'll be able to do rapid tests. So test kits are coming. Maybe the last information I got was April 1st. We are going to get some of the rapid tests in the country.
What went wrong when Ebola broke out in Liberia? What went right when you kind of solved the problem? And what is going right with this outbreak?
Ebola, it took us a while to really start on the track to tracking everything down. So it took a long time and a lot of cases happened. But when people got it, it quickly went down. And the Ebola, it was a condition of touch, which is different from this. So in the case of Ebola, the Ebola were coming to look for you. If you touch somebody, you will get it. But in the case of corona, it's in the air. So it's not a matter of you finding it. It will find you. This is the reason why we had to be vigilant in terms of finding contacts. We don't want people to run away, because running away is not going to help. We try by all means possible to no longer say who the person is in terms of calling name, because it makes people afraid and people try to run away.
Gambian government, in collaboration with the Medical Research Council, has announced its first case of the coronavirus. Health Minister Amadou Lamy Samaté made the announcement shortly after President Adamman Barrow addressed the nation on the coronavirus pandemic. Pandero Mbaye reports from Raleigh, North Carolina.
The West African nation of the Gambia has registered its first case of coronavirus. The COVID-19 case was discovered by the United Kingdom-based Medical Research Council, MRC. Dr. Amadou Lamy Samaté is Gambia's health minister.
This particular confirmed case is a lady in her 20s who returned from the UK on Sunday through the Banjul International Airport. A day after arrival, she started to have fever and decided to self-isolate at home. She reported to the MRC under isolation and was tested and found to be positive.
Samaté says passengers who flew with the patient would be located and quarantined.
The Minister of Health, in collaboration with the Medical Research Council, have started the process of contact tracing and will endeavor to reach all contacts, especially those in the same flight.
Samaté's statement followed a state address made by President Barrow, who briefed the nation on his government's plans to combat the corona pandemic.
It is in this light that all non-essential travels by government officials, including ministers, permanent secretaries, managing directors and directors of all ministries, departments and agents have been suspended. Also, realizing how vulnerable people are during public gatherings, I hereby declare that all public gatherings are suspended henceforth.
Oseanu Dabo is the leader of the United Democratic Party. Dabo addressed a news conference on Tuesday. He says the fight against corona, COVID-19, should not be left in the hands of the government alone.
Of course, we are faced with the ugly and frightening prospect of the coronavirus affecting the Gambia. Because of this, it behoves all of us to stand by and support the government of the Gambia in its efforts to contain this pandemic.
The pandemic was first discovered in China. It later spread around the world. Gambia's neighboring country, Senegal, is among the African countries affected by COVID-19. Dozens of coronavirus cases have been reported in the French-speaking nation. The UDP leader is concerned about the economic ramifications associated with the coronavirus.
The consequences of this global pandemic is more than just a public health crisis. It has affected every sector of the world's economy.
Dabo says Gambia's economy wouldn't be able to withstand such a pandemic.
The UDP encouraged the government to implement policies and measures to adequately prepare for the economic consequences of the pandemic.
The UDP leader also raised the need for the Gambian government to protect its borders with Senegal. For VOA Daybreak Africa, this is Pandering by reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Zimbabwe's annual inflation rate has more than doubled, according to the latest figures. The rate has been released for the first time in 9 months after the Zimbabwe government controversially suspended the publication of the data. Ade Gondo has more.
The Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency, ZIMSTAT, this week said the country's year-on-year inflation rate for the month of February, as measured by the All Items Consumer Price Index, stood at 540%. The last time the annual inflation rate was reported in June 2019, it stood at 176%. According to ZIMSTAT, the month-on-month inflation rate in February was 13.5%, up sharply from the January figure of just over 2%. The soaring inflation compounds the economic quagmire the country has been in just as it confronts the risk of the COVID-19 virus. More than a year of hyperinflation has eroded household income. Most Zimbabweans eke out livings based on the local currency, known as the RTG, which is fast losing value. The US dollar currently trades at around 40 RTGs, up from 36 last week on the parallel market. Retailers and service businesses have had to raise their prices. On the streets of Bulawayo, Zimbabwe's second largest city, citizens feel the pain of inflation. Rosa Moyo is a receptionist and a 30-year-old mother of one.
It's tough now because when we're considering everyone who's employed, like myself, I've got a kid, I need to buy things for my kid, like diapers. I need to buy from South Africa, and I need to buy in rent. The cost of living is really hectic. We can't afford. Maybe I think we should do away with the bond issue and try to adopt some other currency.
The city of Bulawayo recently raised the hikes and service fees by 400%, arguing the local government is financially sinking. Many residents say a few months ago, city council suspended the provision of basic services such as ambulance services and rubbish collection. But residents say their own incomes have not grown. Pensioner Ray Dube weighs in.
Well, the city council has hiked its rates and services by something like 700%. For example, I used to pay $9 for metered water. Now it's $81 per month. And unfortunately, city council itself has actually notified residents that it is no fuel to come and re-dammer meters. So they estimated the amount of consumption and then put a fig when perhaps that should have made static, in the sense that they haven't actually checked the meters.
Dube says that while he knows inflation is not the council's fault, the higher rates are unfair for most residents.
While they go by the rate of inflation of 500%, that does not include AMA salaries for people, for the workers who haven't received that cushion to cushion them.
Last week, a 10-kg bag of unsubsidized millimeal went up to $230 from about $180. A 2-liter bottle of cooking oil now costs $84 from about $78. Bernard Kanga, a fruit and vegetable vendor, says his business feels the pressure of the higher prices.
You sell your wares in the morning, in the afternoon you cannot replace them. Look here, tomatoes a box, we're selling them at less than 8 bond, barely a month ago. Now they're going for 200, 250. Trade is steadily going down. Tomatoes are getting rotten.
Kanga says the government should return to the old multi-currency system, which had allowed him and his customers to store value. Reporting for VOA, this is Ade Gondo.
That's it for this Wednesday, March 18th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Reiki Stryak, as well as post editor Samson O'Malley, along with all of our engineers, I'm James Butte in Washington, wishing you a very good day.
Hello, Africa. This is Peter Clotty, host of VOA's Africa Weekend show, Nightline Africa. Tune in. You will be glad you did.
Nightline Africa is a fast-paced, tightly edited news show designed to keep our listeners engaged from beginning to end. Nightline comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band.